We're talking baseball. We are joined by a two-time Gold Glove winner, first baseman for the Oakland A's, three-time Fielding Bible Award winner, a walk and a run scored in last night's win over Arizona, hitting .275 on the year, 15 home runs, 40 runs batted in. He was the 47th pick overall back in 2012 out of Parkview High School in Georgia. The A's are in first place in the AL West, and they're hosting Arizona today. Matt Olson is my guest. Matt, good to have you on. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing?
Good. Good, Matt. Great to talk to you. I want to ask you really quickly, Matt, about the win over Arizona where you scored five runs in the fourth. I bring that up because you scored those runs by having a couple of walks, a couple of singles, a fielder's choice. I mean, always good to get that big bomb, right? But what's it say about an offense that you can score five runs in an inning without a single extra base hit?
Yeah, you got to be able to do both. You know, the homer's not always going to be there, especially when it's a cold, windy night in Oakland sometimes. So you got to find a way to produce other ways.
I thought you were going to say the home run's not always going to be there when guys are loading up the baseball with all sorts of homemade glue and goop.
Yeah, obviously that's a hot topic in baseball right now. But, hey, no matter what happens, we got to stand at the dish and try to hit it.
I'm going to be more artful than that. I didn't want to rush right into that like I did, but maybe I'll come back to that. Let me ask you this. There's something, and by maybe coming back to that, Matt, I think definitely I'll come back to that, but I want to ask you about this great new tradition the team has. I think it's awesome where a player gets awarded, the player of the game, a 40-pound golden trident as the rider of the wave. How did that start, and what do you think of that trident?
Well, that thing is heavy to start. It's a legit trident. I think it started the starting pitchers were came out struggling a little bit to start the year, and they were in a little group chat, and they said, "Don't worry about it, boys. It's just, you know, a little down part in the wave, and we'll get back going." And they turned it into Ride the Wave, and everybody kind of ran with it. And you know, we hit a double or a homer, we give the Ride the Wave into the dugout, and you know, it's good because baseball really is full of those ups and downs along the whole course of a year. But Sean Manaea, being the wild card that he is, one day I guess just went online and bought a legit trident to have in the clubhouse. So you're gonna have to ask him about that one.
I think it's brilliant, dude. I think it's so cool. I love it, and it, you know, it reminds me, and I'm on the outside looking in, but it reminds me of the thing that I always hear about the team. When I talk to Bob Melvin, when I talk to David Forrest, we talk about the chemistry of the team. And these guys always talk about you and Matt Chapman being at the center of all of this since you arrived. You know, and from talking to both of you, I get that sense, and I'm getting it again right now when we talk about things like the trident. Like, how would you describe the chemistry in that clubhouse? What's it look like and feel like to you?
It's awesome. I mean, it's always been good since, you know, ever since I've been up here and seen the dynamic in the clubhouse. You know, you don't typically think about chemistry in pro sports necessarily being a huge factor. I feel like people look at it as more of a guys making millions of bucks and just kind of doing their own thing. But, you know, I do think it really matters. We've had one of the lower payrolls the last 3 years and found ourselves in the playoffs and, you know, competing with some of the bigger teams with the bigger payrolls. And, you know, I think that the chemistry is part of it. Everybody's in here and, you know, we all get along and we mess around and have fun with it. But, you know, when we're out there, we're grinding too.
Talking to Matt Olson, Matt, it always seems to me like the guys who say that it really doesn't matter are usually the guys who don't have it on teams that don't have it, but the guys who think that it does matter and believe in it obviously are benefiting from it, and they do have it. And then you've got a manager who leads from the front, and Bob Melvin. He was honored with his 800th career win as a manager of the A's. This has always been a really big Bob Melvin house. I always enjoy my conversations with him. There's this story that years back when you were in AAA, you hit kind of a rough patch, and he texted you. Like, what do you remember about that message, and what's it say about the big league manager doing that with somebody in the minors?
Yeah, I mean, I could almost guarantee you that not every big league manager is doing that. You know, Bo Mills been up here since I got up here, and you know, he's like the perfect manager. He's a creative manager. You know, he does his work, and you know, he's a big you know, strong force for us at the top, but also he knows everybody on a personal level, likes to joke around with us as much as we do with each other, and you know, he's just the perfect guy to kind of be leading us, and it was a cool moment to be there for the 800th win, and you know, we celebrated with him a little bit, and you know, got him a nice bottle of wine, everybody signed it, so just a special moment.
So who picked out the wine?
I think that was Jed Lowry. He's the wine guy on the team.
Are you a wine guy?
Yeah, but you know, when it gets down into what region it's from and what year and vintage, I panic and pass the list to Jed.
I panic. That's strong. Like I asked because I really don't know that much about it. I want to know more about it, but I just haven't gotten there yet, so I don't really know. Matt Olson's joining us. I would ask you a question about that, a smart question, but I don't have any. Listen, you are really seeing the ball pretty well. You're hitting nearly 400 for the month of June. I mean, is that what that is? Is that a function of seeing the ball well and executing, or have you made some adjustments?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's kind of a combo. I made some adjustments in the off season, just looking at my swing from last year and you know, addressing things that I didn't like. But you know, for the most part, I said coming into spring that I wanted to kind of get back to, you know, the feel and rhythm at the plate, and felt like I got caught up in mechanics and video and stuff last year, so I really just wanted to kind of get back and, you know, play the game of baseball, and you know, was doing that in spring and had some good results, and I've just kind of been riding that since.
Hey, Matt, the swing, like, not to be weird about this, but like it's so mental, right? It's mechanical, of course, but what do you do with the swing? Like, do you bring the swing home with you? Is it like work that you bring home? Do you leave it at the office? Is the swing always with you? Like, what's the relationship between the player and the swing?
Well, I think that that goes along with the relationship with you and hits. you know, when you're not getting a lot, that thing will the swing will be on your mind a lot. But you know, that kind of goes along with what I was saying right there of trying to, you know, just get back to playing the game. I think sometimes, especially last year for me, you can carry stuff with you that, you know, really just isn't helping at all. You go home and worry about your swing after a bad game and talk yourself into doing something crazy the next day and, you know, set yourself back even more. So, you know, this year, good or bad, I kind of wanted to back off it a little bit and, you know, go out there, watch the pitcher warm up, watch him throw in the game and you know, just like we're out there, you know, playing a high school game or, you know, sometime when you didn't have all the info and analytics that you have now kind of get back to just playing the game.
Boy, isn't that interesting. With all that information, you get that information overload, like try easier, but try easier is sometimes the hardest thing. You know, Matt, just to double back to what we started off with, like if you're in the batter's box and a pitcher is using something to get an edge and it can dramatically increase spin rate, can you explain, like, how much more movement can a pitcher get with the ball, and how much tougher is it for the hitter to hit the ball when you have that increased spin rate, especially if you're doing it kind of illegitimately?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be throwing any shade out here. Obviously, these guys are incredibly talented, and spin rate has been a huge focus for guys in the off season. You know, they got Rapsodo and, you know, things that monitor their spin, so they're working with it all off season. It's obviously a direction that the game has gone where, you know, maybe a little less from guys pitching, painting corners, and more to throw it harder, spin it faster, and your stuff's going to be better. So, you know, obviously a guy who is spinning it fast, throwing it hard is a tougher AB than the opposite. But, you know, like I said, it's nothing we can do about it. Obviously, it's a hot topic, but I got to put the bat on the ball no matter what.
Listen, I respect the response. Matt, baseball's funny like that, right? Like, where do you draw the line? Like, there's certain things that certain players or all players will allow for in terms of trying to get an edge, and then there are certain things that are over the line or over the edge. So where do you draw the line? Is it just a function of it's in the rule book or not? Like, the code is changing, the line is moving. How do you know what's cool and what's not at this point?
Yeah, and I think that's where everybody's at. I think everybody's just kind of sitting around and looking for that kind of answer. I don't know if the MLB is going to get involved or set a specific tack or rub the balls up differently or whatever it may be. But I do think that's where it'll probably end up going is some sort of universal rub or something like that.
I got you. Hey, really quickly, guys around the team are talking about the Little Red Machine, which is a pitching machine. Guys love it. What is it about the Little Red Machine that makes it such a good tool to work with? What is it?
The Little Red Machine was, we had Tommy LaStella halfway through the year last year, and that was his little toy that he brought over. And, I think he might have struck out, three or four times in like 2 months with us, so. I was kind of watching what that guy was doing, and basically what it is, it simulates like a good spin rate four seam fastball. So, sometimes your eyes plays tricks on you with those pitches. You feel like you're on it, and you're way under it, pop it up or whatever. So, me being a guy who has some long arms and length in my swing, where popping stuff up is a little bit of a tendency for me. I get in there on that machine, and it helps me get back on top of pitches, and it's been working so far.
My man, this is why I love this conversation. Every time you come on, he is a first baseman with the A's. He is a two-time Gold Glove winner. Oakland is in first in the AL West, and today's actually a game day, and Matt Olson still made it in. Matt, really appreciate you. Great to have you back, man. Thank you so much for that.
No problem. Appreciate it, Jim.
Talk to you soon. Matt, well done.